This land is your land, this land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf.
Daniel.
Jeremy.
Good to see you again,
yeah,
my friend.
Yeah, here we are.
It's just like the old days.
I know. It's been a while.
It's been a little while. I don't know if you noticed, but I've been working on a beard.
It looks good.
Thank you.
Yeah, it looks, you, I mean, I just miss looking at you from across the room.
I know, it's really, really something else. I mean, what is everybody thinking about, right? Summertime.
Of course.
I'll tell you, this is the time of, even though some may not feel like it, these are the days of celebration to live in the United States of America, and that is where we live.
Yeah. What do you mean some don't feel like it?
Well, because a lot of people have lost some faith lately, I think.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think even people who had faith last November have started to lose faith.
Yeah. I mean, my lips are looser than yours when it comes to political leanings.
Yeah,
I mean,
you do have some loose lips.
I make no bones about the fact that I have no endorsement whatsoever for this current administration.
But whoa, are you trying to say that I do?
I'm trying to say that you're keeping mum about the whole thing.
Right. Well, what can I say?
Nothing, apparently.
Okay, yeah. Oh, man.
You know what I kind of miss?
Okay, what?
It's been a while since I've had a nice hot dog.
Yeah. You like hot dogs?
I love hot dogs.
Me too, actually. I love hot dogs so much.
Delicious, man. 4th of July, you have a hot dog, you ask me.
I mean, how long has it been since you've had a hot dog?
I mean, it depends on what you consider a hot dog. I got a lot of veggie dogs coming my way.
Not a hot dog.
Well, it's just
that doesn't count.
It's not kosher in my house as much to bring hot dogs in.
I know. I mean, hot dogs are fair game in my house. There's just hot dogs everywhere.
Yeah. 4th of July traditions abound. I think we all have them. You know, and we have some listeners that are overseas that may not be as familiar with American 4th of July traditions. You always got to have the fireworks.
Oh, yeah.
The John Philip Sousa.
I mean, I work with an Irish woman, and she's been here for a long time, but she's still like, I don't really get this holiday.
Yeah. Is she a little embittered?
Yeah, she's a little embittered, but I just think she likes to be embittered by it. I think there's probably some things about it that she actually enjoys.
Yeah.
But it's fun for her to hate on it.
Can I tell you something, though? In my opinion, there's still one thing that the United States does better than anyone else.
All right.
And that's making films.
Okay. Of course.
Now, you might say maybe your favorite director isn't necessarily an American director, and, you know, I completely respect that. But the United States is kind of the cornerstone of the film industry.
Yeah, I mean, we make a lot of films. I think America can get a bad rap because, you know, people might say, oh, well, there's an American type of film. They kind of associate films that are at least distributed in a wide manner is like these blockbusters that have little story or whatever. But you know what?
Yeah.
We make great films.
Hey, man, I'll tell you what. Listen, and 4th of July weekend is a big film event, and it's not always necessarily the award winners, but I get drawn in by these crazy blockbuster movies. I do, in the summertime. I like them.
Yeah, me too. And the films that seem to be made to bring a large amount of people together.
Right.
I love those types of
films. Yeah.
And there's something I appreciate about that, because there are films I'm going to watch that I'm not going to really see with a lot of people, or people want to see them.
Right.
But then you come to summer, you come to around 4th of July, and all of a sudden there are all these movies, and you could ask anybody, hey, do you want to go to the movies, and we can find something to watch, and people will want to go.
4th of July just seems like a gimme. I mean, there's so many great, not just American films, but films about America, you know what? For better or worse.
Absolutely. And films that, you know, that really try to elicit some sort of patriotism, like that sense in all of us that we want to be about the place where we live.
Yeah. No, I'm totally with you. So that's why the two of us did our usual thing.
Here we go.
You know what? We each picked a film. We say, what's a great film to watch? We're heading into, I mean, this year, unfortunately, there isn't a 4th of July weekend per se, but we're heading into 4th of July. It's time to watch a movie that's going to inflame your sense of American patriotism. Damn it.
Yes.
We've each picked a film
yep.
to sit down with a cold beer.
Without a shirt.
Yeah, no, sure. Do it to me. Give me some American know-how.
Oh, for some reason, I thought you were talking to me at that moment. Like, do it. I didn't know what you wanted me to do.
the movie. Oh, do it to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, the movie. Yeah, for sure. You know, when you said, let's do a 4th of July special, I thought, there's not a lot of movies that come to mind. Mm-hmm. I was thinking there are some American films. There are some patriotic films. But when I thought of 4th of July and what 4th of July does to me, right? There was a movie that popped in immediately. And I was like, whoa, why did that... Did that even take place around 4th of July? And it turns out, yes. I mean, as I was thinking about the film, there's one specific scene that actually takes place in the midst of a 4th of July barbecue.
Oh, okay.
And so here's my pick. I wanted to find... I was like, oh, this is my pick. I feel like I should pick something more sophisticated, a little bit smarter, something people don't know, but this is my pick.
Sure.
My pick is the 1993 film The Sandlot.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's my pick.
That's the definition of an American cult classic.
Absolutely.
Right,
I mean, so we have baseball, right? In the summer.
Yep.
I watched The Sandlot probably around the time it came out. So I was 11, 12. And I'm a baseball fan. I enjoy baseball a lot. This was one of those movies that you'd seen sports movies, and you'd seen movies where you're like, oh, yeah, okay. That's something I'd like to do when I'm that age, right? Because all the people you watch are people who are great at the game. Now, The Sandlot offers us these characters who are just kids who are in love with the game. They play it.
Yeah.
And they enjoy it. And so here you have this kid named Smalls. Well, that's his nickname. And he's kind of an outcast. He comes into this town, doesn't have a lot of friends. His mom, he's like a kind of a loner. His mom's like, go out. You need to go out and have fun. Go get in trouble. And so he finds this group of kids, and they're playing ball, and they need a ninth man. And so he starts to play, but he doesn't know how to throw a ball. He doesn't know how to play catch. Doesn't know how to hit.
Right.
And so then here's this community that actually forms in teaching this kid how to play baseball.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there are a lot of great characters. There's this character named Benny who's the best. Everyone idolizes Benny, right? He's super fast, and he can hit the ball. He's just perfect. Of course, there's this ominous dog. Any ball that's hit over the fence or under the fence, you never get it back because this dog is a beast. And no one has ever really seen the dog. There are all these ideas about how big this dog is.
The mythology of the dog.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then there's this man who lives there and played by James Earl Jones. But there are all this mythology about this man so mean, right? This dog kills people.
Right.
It's just so great about these kids forming this friendship around this wonderful game taking place, of course, in the summer. And seeing this, I'm like, man, I want to play this game.
Yeah.
I want to have friends like this.
You mean to tell me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it?
Yeah. Yeah, but I was going to bring it back.
But it was signed by Babe Ruth.
Yeah. You keep telling me that. Who is she?
What?
The Sultan of Swat.
The King of Crash.
The Colossus of Clout.
The Colossus of Clout.
Babe Ruth!
The Great Bambino!
Oh my god, you mean that's the same guy?
And as I was thinking about this movie, one of the things I actually love about The Sandlot as well is that one of the characters, Benny, he's the best. He goes on to be a pro baseball player to play in the major leagues. But Smalls, he doesn't. He actually becomes kind of like an announcer for the game.
Okay.
And I thought when I watched that, I'm like, oh, there are actually more ways than one to appreciate this wonderful game,
right,
to appreciate a sport. There's something about that I really appreciate, that you can love something and you don't have to be the best at it.
Yeah.
But there are other ways to appreciate the thing you love.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? One thing that I recall about this film is that one thing that it seems to do really well, it's a character-ish, buddy-ish movie,
right?
But something that a trap that I see a lot of films falling into is when you have a cast of kids, they tend to give kids just sort of an all-purpose kid personality.
Yeah.
And they put them in certain situations and all that. But The Sandlot, as I recall, now it's been quite a while, the personalities are so distinct. There's a diversity of personas here, and you're able to very easily hone in on on the different personas and whatnot in a way that's as diverse and spectacular as any great character film that you would see about a group of adults or something. And that's not an easy thing for a screenwriter to pull off.
That's a good point. And I think you're right. I think it does kind of showcase all these different characters that you as a kid at that age would know from your school,
sure,
or from the people you see are like, oh yeah, there's kind of the geeky kid who has this weird self-confidence, mm, right? Oh, there's kind of the larger kid who isn't insecure, but actually kind of the boss of the place,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then of course, Benny, there's the handsome kid who's just good at everything. Right. Oh, there's the smart kid who totally his head is in the clouds, you know? And it's like, yeah, so you know all these people. The fact that they kind of all come together around this thing that they really love and appreciate in this time where it's in the summer that, yeah, only something like that could happen.
Right.
And I love that.
Yeah. I mean, really, I guess in a lot of ways it is the, we said it before, mythology. It's a movie about, it's the mythology of summer and the mythology, yeah, of childhood and the mythology of what's on the other side of the fence. And there's something that's so fun about, you know, and I'll tell you, I was secretly hoping that you would pick for your 4th of July movie, a fun movie, because, you know, this is the time of year for fun movies.
Absolutely. I'd say, yeah, watch this movie.
Watch it. Yeah.
Watch it. And I feel like anybody would enjoy it.
Yeah. I mean, what kind of a cynical bastard is going to say no way to The Sandlot? I mean, come on. What happened to you?
I know.
What happened to you in your life?
Just get over it.
Get some Americana going.
Okay. So your film's great.
Yeah, it's a great film.
Come on, so do it to me.
It's a great film. So I'm not a fan of our current political situation. And I'm also at the same time, and I think even back in our election special, the film that I picked sort of tipped my hand that I am a fan of the political thriller.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm that guy. My film that I've picked to recommend this 4th of July is one of the all-time great political thrillers. I mean, it's just, it's in some ways, it sets the bar. And what's interesting is you barely see any politicians throughout the entire movie. It's just that politicians are talked about. The movie is from 1976. And of course, the director, Alan Pakula, the film is All the President's Men.
It's a great pick.
It's such a great movie, man. I'm telling you. And never more timely than right now. We're in a situation where, in my opinion, the news media has never been more crucial to our current system and to our current environment. And the news media is currently, in fact, I read an article today about it being stonewalled.
Yeah.
By this president.
Absolutely.
That's a travesty, because if you watch All the President's Men, you see what's important about having a thriving and active and committed,
right,
news media who is trying to get out the truth. Now, for those who are unfamiliar, it's the true story of...
That's what's also crazy about this film.
Yeah, it all happened.
Right.
And you can tell that it's true by the way the film is made, because it's really not sensational at all. There's nothing, everything, quite frankly, if it weren't a true story, it would actually be kind of a flat movie. What's so incredible about it is you know the ending. The movie is about Watergate.
Yeah.
Now, we all know the word Watergate, and we know we all associate that with one of the great political scandals of all time, the great scandal involving President Nixon, and I'm not going to give the whole history lesson with it, but the whole thing was essentially first uncovered, or at least the seeds of it were first uncovered, by these two reporters, Woodward and Bernstein, who are names that, you know, I think we all know at this point.
Right.
Woodward and Bernstein and All the President's Men are the main characters, played by Robert Redford and Dustin Hoffman.
Some of their best work.
Incredible performance.
Right.
And by the way, the supporting cast, also amazing. In fact, Jason Robards got an Oscar for his role.
Did he really?
Yeah, as the editor-in-chief of the Washington Post. You also have Hal Holbrook playing the part of Deep Throat. Just all these like tiny, almost walk-off parts by these fantastic actors. Really, the bulk of it takes place in a newsroom.
Yeah.
And it's a bunch of conversations, very naturalistic. There are times we watched it recently, my wife and I, and we even looked at each other a couple of times and we're like, that felt like a blooper reel more than it, you know, more than a, than an actual scripted film. But the performances are so naturalistic that you're just completely drawn in and you're on the edge of your seat the whole time. The thing that's amazing about the movie, it sort of flops the movie psychology that you're used to. Whereas traditionally, you're like, don't spoil a movie. You know, if you've seen it, don't tell me because I don't want to know the ending or something like that. The power of this movie is the fact that going in, you know the ending.
Yes.
It's just a question of how on earth are they going to get there?
Right.
You know, how is this going to work?
Alderman was the fifth name to control that fund, and Sloan would have told the grand jury.
Sloan wanted to tell the grand jury.
Why didn't he?
Because nobody asked him.
Cover-up had little to do with the break-in. It was to protect covert operations. The covert activities involved the entire U.S. intelligence community.
Did Deep Throat say that people's lives are in danger?
Yes.
What else did he say?
He said everyone is involved.
You know the results of the latest Gallup poll? Half the country never even heard of the word Watergate. Nobody gives a shit. Nothing's riding on this except the First Amendment of the Constitution, freedom of the press, and maybe the future of the country. Not that any of that matters. But if you guys fuck up again, I'm going to get mad.
You forget that these guys were not nobodies, but they just weren't of any real consequence in the area, in the field of reportage. Sure enough, they kept at it. In a very American manner. Yep. They just, the stick-to-itiveness of it. And they were able to uncover the story and change not just the history of reporting, not just the life and career of a president, but really essentially the current of history in a way. Like, we're different as a culture because of Watergate, because of Woodward and Bernstein. This is their story. I don't want to gush too much about it, but you have to see this film.
I'll say this, for people who enjoyed and appreciated the film Spotlight, which of course won Best Picture in 2016,
yeah,
that movie owes everything, in my opinion, to All the President's Men.
Without a doubt.
The thing I love about All the President's Men, and you described this, is that it's about the process. It shows you the hard nose to the grindstone work of actual reporting.
Right.
And that it isn't flashy. You might not ever be known. You might not get any accolades for the work. The work in this film, and I'd say the work of journalists now, is it what feels like a life or death situation, right? Yeah. And I think that's what I love about it. And that's why I love that it is a thriller, but told in this way, it pulls you into the situation where everything seemed like it was at stake at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
In the political scene. And like you said, as you were leading into this film, that's what it feels like now.
Mm-hmm.
Everything seems to be at stake, and we need people who are willing to work hard to really discover and learn the truth and tell it.
Yeah.
I love that pick because I think you're right. I think it's such an important film for so many reasons.
It seems to implore us, as particularly as American citizens, to say, you need to respect this process. You need to respect the fact that when you read something in an article or in a newspaper or something like that online or something from any kind of a reputable news source, and you read so-and-so was quoted as saying blah, 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 you need to respect the integrity that went into getting that quote. Absolutely. Because there is blood and sweat that went into making sure that a lead was obtained and confirmed. And you know, all the different checks and balances and all the tightrope that journalists have to walk, we're all the better for the fact that our press has rights and privileges that and able to get at the truth and get at the story. If you're one of these people that say, you know, everyone in the media is a liar and all that kind of stuff, watch All the President's Men. I think you'll find that you're mistaken.
Oh, that's a good statement. We've shared these two movies that kind of highlight in some ways what makes America great. This one sense of, I guess, the opportunity of people coming together around something that they love and being able to play a sport they love during the summer outside, right? In a place that is comforting and safe. And then you have this other film. It's a little bit darker, but also says something great about America, and that's freedom of speech and the press and the moral obligation
to question our leaders.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's essential.
I'll tell you what, I think if you're looking for a great movie, if you're looking for something to fuel your own sense of patriotism or to help you understand the United States a little better, The Sandlot, great film. All the President's Men, fantastic film. These are two great picks. You're not going to go wrong.
No.
Make sure you catch them both at some point this 4th of July season. I think you'll thank us. I do.
I do too.
So exciting for me to be back here behind these mics doing this again. I love films. I love doing this. Thanks for joining me, and tell you, do something fun this 4th of July, huh?
Yeah, you too.
All right.
All right.
Well, listen, talk to you soon.
All right, bye.